By the way, Brittany had a baby. They broke the news to me Friday. So I said, well, Brent may have called Mike, and he may not have. So I called, he didn't answer because I guess he's going through the new baby thing. So I just said, well, I'll find something that we can do on Sunday, and if they like it, good. If not, I don't care. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I dug this up, oldie but goodie. The book of Romans. You know, I remember Greg Durrell telling me years ago that if he was shipwrecked and he could only have one book of the Bible, it would be Romans. So I started to look at Romans, and I totally agree with him because it's just so theologically complete. I mean, everything you need to know about salvation, you can find it in the book of Romans. Everything you need to know about lifestyle, it's in the book of Romans. Everything you need to know about the Jews, it's in the book of Romans. Paul used 8 chapters to tell us what Christ has done for us. Then he inserts 9, 10, and 11 to tell us the state of the Jews. Then he come back later and tell us about lifestyle and all the other stuff that you may have questions about. So everything you need for life and godliness, you can find in the book of Romans. It is so well put together. That's why I from that at one time this book was used to make a case in the Ivy League schools of law, because that's how Romans build a case. It builds an ironclad case that if you look in for any other way other than through Christ, you out. No way. Because he's the only place you can find true righteousness, you can find justification, you can find sanctification, you can find all the other stuff. And if you want to go back and say, well, what about Moses? What about, he said, well, same thing. They came through Christ. Romans chapter 4. As David says, as Moses understood, everything you need to know about salvation by faith, about salvation by grace through faith, it is ironclad in the book of Romans. Now, in an hour, 45 minutes, no way you're going to go through the book of Romans. We're just going to highlight some things. If you look in Romans 1, starting at 18, Paul lay out perfect case about mankind. And you know, sometimes we read these things, and this is the go-to place for homosexuality. It is. I mean, Paul lays it out. Man with man and woman with woman and all that good stuff. But he also talks about me and you, liars, thieves. His message is that all unrighteousness. How much? All unrighteousness. How much unrighteousness will God judge according to Paul? All. And this morning at Sunday school, I taught how important the gospel is. You say, well, if he's going to judge me in my righteousness, he need to tell me how can I get this righteousness. And that's what the book of Romans lay out. As a matter of fact, before Paul lay out these indictments to mankind, you without excuse, I don't care if you didn't hear the gospel, you see the tree, you see the moon, you see the sun, you know that's a creator. So you are going to be without excuse, totally without excuse. But before he laid out those indictments, and it's amazing, before he lays out one indictment, he gives us the solution. You say, how so? He said, well, yeah, all this is true, but here's what I want you to understand. In Romans chapter 1, Verse 16, let me give you the solution before I lay y'all out. Before I kill all of y'all, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you the solution. What's that? The gospel. Why? Because I'm going to judge the world in righteousness, and that righteousness is only found in that gospel. Verse 14, he says, Paul says this, I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Where is the power to save man? In the gospel. And he explains that in verse 17. For therein what? Therein that gospel message is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In verse 18, he says what? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. How much? All. But I've only done one act of well, it's going to be. So, man, what's the solution? The gospel. As we talked about this morning. That is the solution. That's why it's so important for us to share this gospel message, folks. You want to get out of God's condemnation? Get in his righteousness. How do I get in his righteousness? Through his gospel. And in Romans chapter 3, he lays out the indictment again. Look in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 6, it says, how should God judge the world? For if the truth of God abound through, I said that used to be page 2, but it's not, through my lie, in other words, y'all know they thought Paul was a false apostle, unto his glory, why am I yet also judged as a sinner? And not rather, this is a big one, slander reported of, and confirmed us. That's what people tell you, that if you teach the grace of God, Paul said, that's not what I'm teaching. I'm not teaching you to sin so grace may abound, but it doesn't take away the strength of grace. Paul never changed this topic. He still taught the grace of God, because Paul knew one thing. The grace of God that saves is the grace of God that teaches. And he lays out that indictment here. Look in verse 11 for time's sake. He said, there's none that understand. There's none that seek after God. They're all going out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. Not even me. And the very thing we use to blaspheme or to grieve the Spirit, Paul lays it out. It's your members, folks. It's your eyes. It's your mouth. It's your nose. You know, you can use your mouth to give out the gospel to somebody. You can use it to curse somebody out. Paul said, all your members are just corrupt, swift to shed blood. Your lips. Man, some of the stuff that they can speak, Paul is saying. So the indictment is on. Paul says, look, if you think that you can do good apart from God and apart from believing the gospel, you're wrong. Because, folks, you got no life. You live like a dead person. And that's what the book of Romans teaches. You want life, you come to the only life giver. And that is Jesus Christ. And Paul talks about in verse 21. He said, but now there's a righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed the law and the prophets. Well, wait a minute. I thought this was New Testament stuff. Paul said, no, all this book is about Jesus Christ. They were witnesses. In Luke chapter 24, where Christ himself tells those guys running and hiding after his resurrection, he tells them, I'm going to enlighten y'all to what? All that was written about me in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, and in the writings, and in the law. It was all written about me. So I'm going to bring that to your understanding so you can understand what this gospel message is going to be about. And that's what the message was about in Luke chapter 24. Christ is saying this gospel message is going to be it. It's life-changing. Not just life-giving, but it's life-changing. Paul and Titus said the grace of God has appeared doing what? Teaching us how to deny ungodliness, right? Don't just save. Teaches us how to live. Grace is our education. When I think about what I deserve versus what God gave me when I believe the gospel, that's the greatest motivation in the world for me to live the Christian life. Couldn't have done it by law anyway. Because Paul says in Galatians, if there had been a law that could have given life, then Christ is dead in vain. In Christ you got life. In the law you got death. So cling to the life. And see what that new man should start to look like, as we talked about this morning. Paul said, there's a righteous now, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested and witnessed by the law and the prophets. All Old Testament is talking about Christ. Paul says to the Pharisees, y'all want to lift up Moses? Moses is the one that condemns you. Y'all want to lift up the house? I'm the builder. Who's greater, the house or the builder? Lord, Christ is saying, this is all about me. You want life? You come to me through the gospel. You want to live the Christian life? Relax and allow me. I'm the only one can do it. I'm the only giver of it, and I'm the only one that can live it. That's what the book of Romans is talking about. And Paul says, look, this is through the redemption that's in Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. In other words, God is the satisfaction for man's sin, but you got to believe it, through faith in his blood, to declare at his time this righteousness, this remission of sins, which are passed through the forbearance of God. Going back to the Old Testament, look, me and those bulls and goats didn't do nothing for those people at Israel. It was just a covering. In other words, God said, put it on my American Express. And American Express was Christ. He came and paid it, now it's done. Hebrews chapter 9, same thing. It said, for the sins that were under the Old Testament. Could never do anything about your sin. Could never do anything about your lifestyle. But what can is God the Spirit alive living in you the moment you believe the gospel. And folks, I'm always looking for proof of life. God didn't ask me to show proof of life before he gave me life. I would have earned it. He said, I'm going to give you life. I want you to give the world proof of life. Tell them that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No ways around it. Romans chapter 4, just highlighting some stuff. What should we say then? Abraham, back to the Old Testament, our fathers pertaining to the flesh, has found, for if Abraham was justified by works, He wherefore have the glory, but not before God. In other words, I'm standing before God saying, you got no choice but to receive me. I'm somebody. I'm Superman. Without me, you'd have no Christianity. I don't think that will go too well with God. You think, y'all think that I can make him understand that I'm so great? That's why I can't boast. And he goes way back to the Old Testament and says, just as Abraham. No difference. Just as Abraham was justified. And let's see how Abraham was justified. For what says the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worked, the reward is reckoned, is not working reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, you know, you owe me. God, you simply owe me. But to him that works not, but believe, this is the grace, that believe on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Even David, another Old Testament character, also described the blessing of the man whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed is they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. You're going to have one or two things on your account. A sin debt or the righteousness of God. Which one you want? If you want the latter, believe the gospel. Fast forward to Romans chapter 5. Paul says this, God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. But he was his enemy. While you was his enemy, what God decided to do was remove the enmity that God put between God and man in the garden, take it away, nailed it to the cross. That's reconciliation. So now man can come and receive the righteous gift of life, or the righteous gift from God. And he says, verse 10, then if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have received the atonement. In other words, folks, I have received the reconciliation. I needed reconciliation. I know I had no right to go, a sinful man had no right to go before a holy God. But when you rent the veil from top to bottom and reconcile man and convict him by the Spirit, I can receive and be saved. That's what Paul is saying. Talking about the much more justification. If when you were enemy, well, the much more justification. I'd rather be in Romans chapter 5 than to be in the Garden of Eden. Because I got the much more justification. The much more being his son. The much more you being his daughter. The much more of justification, glorification. The much more of all those things that come with the gift of righteousness. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Paul said a much more justification. And here he talks about, once again, a righteous judgment and acts that he's going to judge the world in righteousness. And the book of Romans tells us how you can avoid that. How you can avoid the wrath of God. And that's through the righteousness of God. And the only way that righteousness come is through justification through the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, same writer here, Paul, by the way. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I get sick of people asking me, well, if I get saved by grace, I say, yeah, you become a new creation. Now, what's your question? Well, can I go just, well, will that make you new or are you still living the old life? Well, I mean, it just don't make sense for somebody to make a statement like that. If he made you brand new, learn what that newness is. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's new. If you believe the gospel, he's regenerated your spirit. It's new. It's new. Now he can commune, or he can communicate with God, spirit, who lives on the inside of you. We have the mind of Christ. Stick your nose in the owner's manual. He'll show you what newness looks like. Don't look like the oldness. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said, and you were dead, past tense. But he made you alive. I like to refer to it as used to and now. Okay, that's what it used to be. What is it now? Walk in newness of life. That's what the whole new life is about. All things of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. How many churches teach this? What is the ministry of reconciliation? He's going to tell you. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So who's he not imputing sin to? The world. So I'm to go and tell the world God is not imputing sin to your account. Either you're going to have on your account condemnation or righteousness. Not sin. He's already judged the world in sin, and it was guilty. And he killed Christ. So what Paul is saying here, not what God wants us to be, now we're ambassadors of Christ. This is our mission. We'll represent heaven. So let's tell somebody about our home, heaven. He said, you know, as ministers of reconciliation, he said, our job is to simply tell people that God has dealt with the sin problem. And the way you deal with sin and problem is get his life. Once you get his life, he starts to deal with your sinning problem. But the sin problem, he's dealt with already. Everybody understand? You understand that I paid the debt in full. Now I want to work on your mind. I want to constantly renew your mind. I want to put good stuff in. And when I put good stuff in, garbage comes out. Well, it used to be the other way around. Garbage in, garbage out. So now I want to reprogram you. I want you to understand you've been metamorphosized, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed. The word that transformed, metamorphosized. It's like Paul is saying God has taken you from a worm and turn you into a butterfly. Stop crawling and fly. Not complicated. Don't look for some law or some rule that's going to keep you in check. It didn't work with Israel. And it ain't going to work with you. How God changes us is through his grace. You don't deserve it. You didn't deserve for me to save you, and you definitely don't deserve for me to train you, but that's what I chose to do. And in Colossians and Ephesians, Paul said it was all to his glory. It brought glory to God to save you. It brought glory to God to keep you saved. It brought glory to him to seal you with himself until the day of redemption. Man, when I read stuff like that, oh, it was glory to God? Yes, it brought glory to God to save you and me. And that's what the book of Romans is about. He said, man, you read this and I guarantee you that you'll start to get it. And Paul said, we're to beg people to be reconciled. He said, well, what does it mean if I'm reconciled? Here's what it means. For he was made to be sin for you and for me, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Takes you out of judgment, folks. The Romans chapter 5, Paul says, he has not called us to wrath. Why? Because the wrath of God for me and you went on his son. Man, you want to learn what the Christian life is? It's Christ. It is Christ. And John agrees with Paul because John says this, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appear, we shall be like him. His life. Paul says in Colossians, when Christ, who is our life, appear, we shall be like him. He's our life, folks. It's a life. It's not a program. It's not you coming here once a week, taking care of an obligation. It is him living in you. Because you have put total dependence on him and what he's done. And that's what the book of Romans is about. It tells you that Christ finished this work. It's a done deal. Nothing you can do to change it. You can reject it. But that's it. You can't change it. You can't say, oh, Lord, I like the gospel, but I need you to fix this. And how do you improve on the righteousness of God? How do you do that? But that's what Christianity is today. God has done all this. And it's so important. We looked at this morning. Well, I don't have to believe. You don't have to believe it. But in the end, when all this culminates, God's going to ask you one question. Did you believe? Did you believe in my son? Did you put 100% of your faith in my son? And if you didn't, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, because you can't know him apart from the gospel, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not a gospel, but the gospel. Did you believe it? Did you believe it? But what if I believe and I don't do this and I don't do this? I said, well, I don't know what to tell you about that. Just believe and open a book. And he'll direct you. Not my job to direct you. Open the book. Tell you some of the things he says. Look, any man be in Christ, brand new creation, right? Brand new, brand new, brand new. And if I read Ephesians, Colossians, it tells me, put on a new man. Okay, well, how do I do that? Paul said, you put on the new man. What that looks like, Paul, he says, if you've been lying, cut it out. Steal and get a job. Go to work with your hands. Angry? I said, cut it out. Well, that's what training a new man is. That's what grace is. I got there by grace, and I'm going to be trained by grace. God will give you the grace to get all that foolishness out you. But it's a process. It's a process. Ask Peter. Ask Paul. Ask anybody that is already going to the other side. It's a process. You know, you got people today in the church say, oh, I don't believe Peter saved because, man, if you deny him, well, Peter did it three times. And anybody think Peter's in heaven? Absolutely. Folks, it's God's grace that grows us up. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Let me turn that so y'all don't have to flip to your Bible. Hebrews, chapter 10. In Hebrews, chapter 10. Starting in verse 15. The writer writes this. People say, oh, Paul, I don't believe Paul wrote Hebrews. First of all, it's to Jewish believers. Paul was a apostle to the Gentile. Plus, this guy said he wrote this book on the accounts from other people. Paul got his directly from heaven. That's why I don't believe it's Paul. But anyway, nevertheless, wherefore the Holy Ghost is a witness to us, for after that he had said, after he had said, the Holy Ghost, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brother, boldness. Having what? Boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Christ. You ain't going there based on you. You're going there based on the righteousness that God has given you. So now I can go and not just go, but I can go boldly. But my point here is, and they also say by a new and living way, you're no longer dead. Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Let me see if I can find this for you. Because I don't believe y'all be believing me. Sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. I will remember no more. That little word, that little Greek word right there, remember, is a mental attitude. I won't remember it. Whereas to punish you, I won't remember it. That's grace, folks. I've already dispensed the punishment on Christ, so let me teach you the right way. I already said by a new and living way. God sees us as somebody, folks. So let's learn what this newness is. Why would he give us something that he wouldn't want to pull it off? He wouldn't want to perform it in and through us. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than this. And in the book of Romans, it's just so full of that kind of stuff. Paul is saying, if you got any doubt about what Christ did for you, read the book of Romans. Start in 1 and read it all the way through. And I want you to get, as Greg used to say, get your little loose leaf and make notes. Just make notes. And you say, I see why they call him a good God. He's a good God to save bad people. He's not a good God to try and get bad people to do good things. That's religion, folks. I saved you. I set you apart. We're going to fast forward to Romans chapter 8 because I want to make sure this one gets in. 28. It says, we know all, everybody know this verse, right? That, and we know, it's amazing. Paul is being generous there. Because he said, we know. Paul, you're lying. Most people don't know. But when you know, you can speak like Paul preached here. Paul saying, we know that how many things? All things work together for good for them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, how many did he conform? As many. All. That word, as many, all that believe. I conform. Well, who did the conforming? God did. How did he do the conforming? Through the gospel. I believe the gospel, so he can, what? He confirmed me. 1 Corinthians, Paul said he's the one that will confirm you to the end. Sorry, Catholic Church, there's no such thing as confirmation. It's through the gospel. So now I'm confirmed, sanctified, justified, glorified. Peter said perfect. Jude used the word preserved, which is to say, look at the word preserved, which is to say holy. He made you holy. Now, folks, my question again is, who did all this? Who did all this? He did. So when we get to heaven, or while here on earth, who are we going to boast on? Him takes me out of the picture. Not so. You go throughout the city today and take an exit poll of people coming out of churches. Did God a favor this morning? Because I showed and I sent praises up. I came here this morning because I know who I am and I wanted to share it with y'all. That's why I come every Sunday. I want to be around a bunch of people that believe like me, because when I get admonished, that's a good thing. Or when I admonish you, that's a good thing. Because we're talking about the one Savior. And that's what Paul lays out in the book of Romans. So much so, 8 chapters, and then they get to 9, 10, and 11, and they tell you how not to do it. Israel sought according to their works. Don't do that, Paul says. That won't get you in. My prayer is for Israel is that they might be saved. Man, but they pray 3 times a day. They are committed. I got some good friends that believe that, and I mean like clockwork, that rug is going down, and they are committed. And I guarantee you got Christians would say, well, you don't think they get some credit for that? No, here's what I tell people. If they were sincerely committed, God would do the same thing to them that he did to Paul. Paul, you're going in the wrong direction. The book of Romans starts by there without excuse. Now, if you're going to worship Muhammad or anybody, then what about the Creator? Folks, that's why there's a Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. You're worshiping our Creator, not some created being. Muhammad was created. All the priests were created. Couldn't have committed one sacrifice for you because they had a sin debt of their own. That's what Paul brings home here. In chapter 8, Paul says, we know all things work together for good for them that love him. And he talks about whom he predestinated, he called, whom he called, he also justified, whom he justified, he also glorified. Well, how many of y'all walking around with a glorified body? I can see all y'all. Y'all ain't got no glorified body, right? But folks, it's a done deal. He's saying this is where you're going to end up, right here, glorified. Because I already called you. I've already sanctified you. Already justified you. Your last little act is glorification. And either you're going to see me coming through the clouds, or you're going to be absent from the body and with the Lord. And if you've got any kind of sin on your account, you ain't going to be in the presence of the Lord. That's why Christ nailed everybody to the cross by saying, it's me or bust. I got the only righteous ticket to heaven. You want it? Believe I did it. Believe I finished the work. I mean, when you read this Romans 8, this is the conclusion to me. Paul could have closed the book right here. Paul says, go down to verse 36. No? 32, because I don't want y'all to miss this. God, Christ, and the Spirit, all in this sentence here. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? Is it Christ? Is it Christ that died? Yea. Rather that is risen, the gospel again. Rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also is our defense attorney, or make intercession for us. How can you lose when you're in him? This is all this is from God. All this. And if you go down, now you can go down to verse 38. I'm persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, don't stop there, which is in Christ. You're in Christ, can't be separated. That is mighty powerful to me. These are scriptures I can go to sleep with and not worry if I don't wake up. He asked the question, who did he leave out there? or any other thing. Can you be separated from God? No, folks. Way back in John chapter 14, when the Spirit comes, he's going to be with you and in you for how long? Forever. And that's him here making this promise good. Because you glorified already. But I don't see myself glorified. I don't care what you, if you believe, you guess what? God said, I've sealed you with myself. So you're glorified. Open this book and see the goodness of God, it brings out the goodness in me because it's him doing it through me. Say Philippians 3, Philippians 2, he says what? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. People say, oh, you see, now you got to work. It is God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. How does he do that? The word of God. The word is alive. It's living. Changes people. I guarantee it. Trust me. If it don't change you, in the next 100 years, I give everybody $100. Because I know in the next 100 years, we're all going to be changed if we believe. So y'all can just pay me now. But the truth is, folks, let's boast in him. Let's boast about what he's done. Let's boast in his commitment to us. We think it's our commitment to him. That's hogwash. When we understand his commitment to us, our commitment to him will automatically change. But you can't put it in reverse. He said, I did all this to the glory of God. I saved you through the glory of God. I saw y'all little worms crawling around down there on earth, and I came, and everybody that believed, I made you a butterfly. Learn how to fly. Book of Romans. Read it sometimes. I guarantee if you read through it about 2 or 3 times, you won't be the same. And make notes. Just make notes. When Paul said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, I can't get my head around that. But I know how to believe it. And when I'm acting like I'm not the righteousness of God, grace says, old man, you're no longer dead in your sins. You're alive in Christ. Anyway, it's God living in a perfect heaven. God was totally 100% rich in the person of Christ. God being rich came to us who were poor that we might be rich. How rich are you? And I ain't talking about driving a Bentley or Rolls Royce. How rich are you? You got everything pertaining to heaven. You got everything to live this life on earth because of what he's done. That's how rich you are. Totally heal you. There ain't no greater healing than being raised from the dead, folks. So you're totally healed. All that is in him. All that is in Christ. So just think about it. When you leave here today thinking about and just telling him, that's why Paul, in all of Paul's prayers, Paul said, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. Now, who's better to say that than Paul? Me. Constantly saying, Thank you. Thank you. Didn't ask you to come and save me. You made the choice to do it. And I thank you for loving me so much. And on the other side of that, now that you did come and you saved me, you brought me from a sinner to a righteous person. Romans 5:10 again. How much more will it do for you now that you're his? Oh, if you do this, God's going to kill you. What? Paul said, when I was a murderer, he didn't kill me. But his grace called me, and his grace is the thing that's teaching me, and it's going to teach me and you. Lord, again, we thank you for the book of Romans. We thank you for the whole Bible, Lord, but there's some books that just get so in-depth into what you've done for mankind. And that one of those books is Romans. Lord, it lay out a litany of things that we used to be. And it gives us the one good thing that we are the moment we put faith in you. And I hope, Lord, I pray that that would change all our thinking. That you say we have the mind of Christ, which is the word of God. So let's pick his mind. Let's pick his brain. And if you're wondering how to live this Christian life, ask him. Lord, what do you have me to do? As Paul says, show me the right way. You think he might say no? Never. We simply thank you, Lord. We thank you that you cried from the cross that it was finished. And that word finished says the work of the plan of salvation was finished. And that plan was the finished work of Christ. And we thank you for it, Lord. And I just pray that we'll tell somebody today that they've been reconciled. And that God will not put sin on their account. Let me tell you how to get the righteousness of God through Christ. And then we can share the gospel. And I thank you, Lord, that all the results is always in your hands. We don't worry about whether somebody's going to believe it or not. We just simply give it to them. And we say, Lord, go to work. And we know you will. Again, we thank you for Christ. For it's in his mighty name I pray. Amen.